We just serve an awesome God. It is such an honor to have with us this evening, this morning and this evening, Brother Sister Jacobs from Prairie du Chien and Boscobel. And I'm just such an honor to have them here and so thankful that they're here. He preached an incredible sermon this morning, and he's going to come and preach to us tonight. Brother Scott Jacobs, we love you. God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. God is great. God is great. God is great. God is great. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a planted tree. Amen. Trees of righteousness. God has been so faithful. It is such an honor to be here, to be among great men of God. And I'm a product of, I don't know if you have it here in this campus. I am a product of Purpose Institute. Amen. Sitting under the likes, ministers of Brother Russell. Amen. He told me this morning after I got done, I'm going to put this on my resume. He said, I'll claim you as one of my students. So I'll put that on my, but I'm so honored to be here. Amen. To be around great men. And I'm so honored to have Brother Roy Grant be numbered among my friends. And if you want to be my friend, the yearly subscription rate, membership rate, is $19.95. But if you act now, amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's get into this thing. I'm so glad to be here. It's an honor to have to be with Brother Grant, Elder Bishop. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. 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 God is so good. As it was said, my wife and I, we pastor in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. We started the church there from a home Bible study, and it took off in 1997, and we've been there ever since. And we have a building there, and we've got people there, and above all else, when we went there, we found God there. And so we built something, and God has been so faithful to us. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, looking at verse number 9. When you're there, say amen. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? And if you would very quickly turn with me to the book of Jude. As we're looking in Jude, verse number 22. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. By the flesh. Amen. Father, I'm asking that you would help me today minister to your people. I'm asking God that you will let your words be heard today and let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you shout amen? Amen. And if you're going to help me preach, you may be seated. If you're not going to help me preach, please remain standing. Now, you've just signed the membership, all right? Amen. God is so, so good. It was said that we are also pastoring a church in Boscobel, Wisconsin. My wife and I started taking the church over there in Boscobel. It is a small community, roughly about 3,000 people. Pray for us as we adventure in pastoring two churches and two locations. Amen. God is good today. A disturbing video shows five Florida teens laughing and taunting a disabled man drowning instead of helping him. The NBC Miami reports the clip that was filmed by one of the teenagers on their cell phones, and it has gone viral on social media. It shows a 31-year-old man crying out for help in a retention pond near his family's home in Florida. As they mock him and curse him, at one point, a boy can be heard on the video telling the man that he is going to die. As they refuse to help him, another boy laughs and said, I think he's dead. Police called the footage beyond heartless, noting that all the teen boys between the ages of 14 and 16 had cell phones, but none of them attempted to call the emergency services for help. And during the interviews, at least one of the teens expressed no remorse while being interviewed by the detectives. I come to talk to the church about being moved within the church, but not without the church. You see, it's so easy for us to sit in a setting where we feel the presence of God and we hear great singing and we've got awesome preachers and ministers that move us in the inside and something begins to happen to us. But sometimes we struggle that the very moment that we leave the sanctuary and we go outside and we go back to our homes and our communities and where we live, we're not moved outside of the church like we are moved inside of the church. It's the same God inside the church that's on the outside of the church. My Bible tells me that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He also said that he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. We got to come to the grips that it doesn't matter whether I like somebody or I don't like somebody. It doesn't change the fact that God died for them. It doesn't change the fact that God loves them. And in the middle of where everything is just fine in the first family and everything is great, there seems to be something that wells up inside of Cain in which he decides to slew his brother and take him out of the first family. And in the middle of that, I'm preaching here today, listen to me. And in the middle of that, it's God from on high that has to ask, where's Abel at? How come Adam and Eve didn't miss him? How come mom and dad don't miss him? I'm here to tell you, God misses more people who are not in attendance of the church, who are not a part of your home Bible study. God is missing them and longing for them to come back into his presence so he can touch them and heal them and turn their life around. But there's too many of us that get preoccupied with what we think life is, that we no longer get disturbed about seeing those that are hurting on the outside and they're struggling and we walk right on by them. And God is saying, where's your brother? How long has Abel been dead before Adam and Eve even realized he was gone? I don't know how long it was. I'm not sure. But do you miss your brothers and sisters anymore when they're no longer sitting in the same pew? Are you missing your children anymore when they're no longer in the same church or worshiping the same God? Or have you come and hung it up and said, you know, it's just their decision. They got to do what they got to do. But God is asking you today, do you know where your family is? I'm not trying to preach hard to you. I'm not trying to be difficult. I've asked God today, and I'm not saying this to make you feel better, but I said, God, I know what this church is doing, and they're reaching their communities, and I see the burden. But God is saying, yes, they're doing all of these things, but in the midst of it all, they're missing the family. What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I told the church a long time ago that if it came to a decision between you as a church and my family, I'll resign the church and hold on to my family, because it doesn't profit me nothing to gain a church and become a pastor or something great and lose my children. Let me go back into my message today. We get preoccupied with life. We make decisions. Things begin to
call on us. We're busy. We come to our Sunday services and we hear great singing, great preaching, and the Spirit moves us. We amen the testimony. Tears begin to stream down our face. We're moved within the church, but when we leave the church, the tears dry up. The Spirit seems to all of a sudden be only relevant within the building, and it's no longer something we feel. We struggle with being moved outside of the church by the same God that moves us in the church. We struggle to find time to fit into our schedule. The same Spirit that moves us in the inside, we struggle with finding something that will move us on the outside. The Bible says to everything there is a time and a season and a purpose under heaven. And I believe within my own ministry and my own time, there's a time in which I need to just shut the closet door and be shut in with God and don't allow any distractions to deter me and cause me to walk away from God. But I also think by the same scripture that says there's a time and a season and a purpose, that there's also a same time that I remove myself from there and I go out into the highways and the byways and I try to find those that are hurting and struggling. Where's Abel? Where's your neighbor? Where's your loved ones? Jesus said this very statement. He said, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." The religious leaders did not understand. They struggled with the concept of why Jesus would be seen with what they called sinners and publicans. What they saw as sinners, Jesus saw them as needing salvation and healing. What they deemed to categorize and put into a category of no goods and nobodies, Jesus viewed them as somebodies and turned them into great ministers to where they turned this world upside down. When they sought to persecute, Jesus sought to redeem. When they sought to get them on the outside and not allow them into the sanctuary, Jesus said, "Hey, if they won't let you in the sanctuary, the King of the sanctuary will come to where you are." Am I saying that the church here does not love God's people? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is God has a bigger purpose and a bigger plan. And God has more ideas than what you and I could imagine here today. And He wants to stretch our thinking. And He wants us to move beyond to where we lay awake at night and say, "God, do we have enough time?" Just this last month, you heard about the company here in Wisconsin, and they're now implanting people with the chips, and everybody's just going crazy about this, and they're talking about the end time and a sign of the end time, and they're just that's the buzzword, and everything's going on. But I heard something. The Lord just spoke to me and smote my heart, and He said, "You know what? As everybody was talking about the end time and the revelation and what was going to happen, God just said to me, He said, 'I wonder,' as I was talking back to Him, and the Lord was speaking to me. Sometimes we just have this conversation like I'm talking to somebody, and sometimes it's two-sided. Or sometimes it's just me talking in both areas. I just do a lot of talking to God." And the Lord said to me, I don't had a hard time finding somebody crying out and saying, "God, do I have enough time to reach my family? Is there enough time to save my community?" This world is going to give way to glory. This world is going to give way to what God is doing. But we got to understand that the world, the way, the reason we are in the mess that we are in is because people forgot to love one another. And fathers looked and said, I'll make this decision myself, and it's not going to affect my family, and it's not going to hurt my children. And that's the reason we're in the situation where we are, because we no longer allow the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. And we find ourselves struggling with trying to reach out to someone else because we're trying to make sure that we ourselves find everything that we need from God. God is saying, while the end of time is coming and you're looking and preparing and ready for me, you should also make sure that you ask yourself this question, Lord, do I have enough time to reach my children? Can I still reach my grandchildren? Can I still reach my community? Can I still reach my loved ones? Because isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that really what it's all about? As they were struggling with him and his understanding, he said that when you visit the sick, you have visited me. And when you help those, you have ministered unto me. And they struggled with all of this. I want you to understand what the preacher is saying today. I'm not here criticizing. I'm encouraging. This church is a model for what's going on. Your pastor and senior pastor and bishop, you guys, the things that's going on here is a huge example. But I'm here to tell you, there's still more. There's still more communities. There's still more areas. There's still more brothers. There's still more sisters. There's still more cousins and aunts and uncles. There's still more gas station attendants. There's still more grocery store clerks. There's still more people out on the street. And I'm here to tell you that it's not going to come by our own ability. We're going to have to stand and say, God, do we have enough time? God, you're going to need to help us. You're going to need to help us. You're going to need to help us. We have to continue to be a people of purpose. Desiring and pushing our way through and our life through. Moving about throughout the scripture. You will find that the disciples rejected everything that stood in the way of their call and their purpose to further the gospel. They pushed themselves to the breaking point and limits because they were concerned about their family, their loved ones, and their friends. God desires you and I today to push beyond our own feelings and our own concerns. But truly, when we move beyond how we currently feel, that's really where we begin to find the mind of Christ. You see, while the rest of the disciples stayed, Jesus was the one that went a little further. He pushed himself to go on a little further. You see, my Bible tells me that when Elisha knew that Elijah was going to be taken away, the Bible says the prophets said to him, "Do you not know today the Lord will take thy master from you?" And Elisha said, "Yet I know. I know what's going on." And Elisha was the only one that went with him. While the rest of the prophets who prophesied, who understood and realized what was going to happen, the Bible says they stood and viewed afar off. In this end time And this revival that's going to sweep and the purpose of what we're trying to do, it's going to take everybody and not just people who say, you know what, I know what we're going to do, but it's going to take everybody to follow along the man of God and get a double portion and a double vision and a double drive of what God is desiring and want us to do in these last days. Listen, all of Dane County, that's where we are. There's nothing wrong with all of Dane County receiving the Holy Ghost. I told somebody today, I was joking with them, but what if we had a bunch of churches that would have connect Madison all the way to Prayer to Sheen? But I told somebody, Prayer to Sheen is just a suburb of Madison. But what if somebody would get a vision and get a dream and follow what the man of God is doing? What if somebody desired and realized that I've got friends and families in that community? And while heaven is mourning because they are missing, we are content because we are being entertained. And I'm not saying this church is entertaining, but we can sit in an entertaining mode. I can be content here while the world and our loved ones are needing us. They're needing us. I said they're needing us. People are praying everywhere, whether they're UPCI or not UPCI. But if anybody ever believes in God and they believe there's a God in heaven, whether they have a background of religion or they understand the Bible, people do pray. Let me say that again so you believe me. People do pray. I said people do pray, whether they're in the church or they're out of the church. And as we struggle and we go through life, we wonder exactly where is God in all of this. And they're struggling in their addictions and they're struggling in their families. But look in this mirror right here. You are the answer to their prayer. This is the answer right here to the prayer in which they are calling out. You and I are the answer. It comes in all shapes and sizes. This is what prayer answering looks like, church. God can use anybody. He has always used anybody. God has never had a perfect church. He's never had a perfect person. He's never had a perfect individual or a perfect family. But he's seeking those who are willing to go to the very fire themselves and pull and snatch people out. He said, but you don't understand. I don't know if I could do that. This is what prayer, this is an answer. You want to know what prayer answering looks like? Right here. Are you too far in the back? Do you need me to get closer? It's not just the men up front. It's not just everybody else. Listen to me. It's you. You have the ability to answer somebody's prayer. It's through a helping hand. It's through reaching out when somebody is in need. It's not just looking and visualizing and watching somebody drown in sin. And we just record the event and tell somebody and we laugh at them and we make fun of them and we poke at them. How gross that is, and we can't understand and can't stomach it. But in the spiritual world, we allow it to happen. We allow it to happen. We allow it to happen. But we got to rise up and say, no, 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 not on my watch. Not on my watch. I'm not going to sit idle and watch people drowned in sin when I'm a prayer, when I'm an answer to somebody's prayer. Are you hearing me today? I apologize for nothing today as I sought the Lord and I asked. I stand in correction. If this man after works, he wants to discipline me, I stand there and I'll take it. But hear what I'm saying today. I sought God. I said, God, but you don't understand that church. They're doing all of these things. Yes, there are some that are doing all of these things, but the rest of us, we got to keep doing more because the ending is coming. coming. There's more communities. There's more areas. There's more areas. There's more families. There's more places in which they haven't heard about this glorious gospel. People are praying. People are seeking God. People, listen, how many times has God moved in your life? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Let's get it back again. And let's say, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll be an answer to somebody's prayer. I'll be an answer to somebody's prayer. Yarabashita. 38 years, Brother Grant, this man laid at the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. Jesus was the one who walked by and said, do you want to be made whole? The Bible tells us that at a certain season, the angels would go down and stir the water. And whoever stepped in, they would be the ones that were healed of their ailments and their diseases. For 38 years, brothers and sisters, this man laid there for the waiting of the water to move. And when it did, when he tried to get there, the Bible says that somebody would step in before him. Brother Grant, I ask the question. I come to ask you the question. Where were the people ahead of him that were healed? How come nobody went back? How come nobody said, listen, bro, when I get my healing and I got it, I'll come back and help you. I will sit with you. I will stay here with you. I will be around you. I will sit here as long as it takes, and I'll be the one dragging you into that pool so you can get healed. But for 38 years, nobody came back. Nobody came back. Nobody visited him. Nobody. Jesus tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And as Lazarus and the rich man both die, Lazarus is taken to Abraham's bosom. The rich man, being in hell, lifted up his eyes. I don't know how long the rich man lived. But I can tell you this. Nowhere in that Bible do I find that he was ever concerned about his family until he was dead. If you wait until you're dead, it's too late. It's too late. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Jesus. The musicians come. And while they come, I'm just taking it from the Bible. And while they come, a man was called by God to go to the city of Nineveh. He was unwilling and didn't want to go. But then when he finally came to the realization that he cannot outrun God, Jonah went. The Bible says that he started at the entrance of the city and he began to tell them, repent, 40 days, the Lord is going to overthrow this city. Let me read to you. In Jonah, Jonah 4 and 5 says this. So Jonah went out of the city after he told them what God wanted him to say. He went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a booth and he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He walked through the city. He told them what was going to happen. He walked right on out of the city, went up on a hillside, made himself a little comfort place. And he sat and watched what would become of the city. And while Jonah was sitting on the hillside, inside the city, people began to cry. It wasn't a preacher that proclaimed the fasting. It was the king. Why wasn't it the preacher? I'm not criticizing our ministry. Just hear what I'm saying today. Because the preacher was too busy sitting on the hillside. But the king understood the message. And the king realized what was going on. And the king said, let's see if we can change the mind of God. And while the preacher was on the hillside, the king was bringing everybody to repentance. And the Bible says that God reversed the decision. Not because of a preacher, but because of the cry of a wicked king and his people. I'm not too sanctified to get myself in trouble. I'm nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am, and that's all you are. But I'm here to tell you something. God didn't call me just to preach a message and start a church and walk through my city and say, repent, or else this and that and the other will happen. But this is what God called me to do, and I don't want to embarrass somebody. But God called me to say, you want to know? Hey, I hear something. The Lord has pressed your name upon me. I want to talk to you. I want to invite you to a Bible study. Can I just have coffee with you? Can I just become your friend? Listen to what God is saying. You're not called to condemn. You're called to compel. To compel.
But look in my eyes. I need more than money. I am the single mother of three. I know how it looks, but please don't condemn me. I need you to reach me. Will you pray for me? Will you speak to me? Be moved by compassion for me.
Come on. Can you hear a ministry team come forward? Ministry team come forward. Listen to what I'm saying. Can you hear somebody calling you? Can you hear a name? Do you see a face? Are you willing to fight for them? Are you willing to pull them out of the fire? Are you willing to do the call, whatever it costs? Are you willing to pay the price? You say, well, I don't know if I can. Look into this. You are somebody's answer. You are somebody's answer. You are the answer that they're looking for, church.
I'm the man. adding more than money.
Church, whether you've been in this church a long time or whether you've been in a short time, whether you've given your heart to God or you haven't given your heart to God, there's somebody that you can talk to. There's somebody you alienated. There's somebody you walked away from. Listen to what this preacher is saying to you today. They're calling out. They're wondering, does the world, if the world will take them, how come the church won't love them? How come nobody will look for them?
I'm the city you drive through on your way to work. Can't you hear my streets crying, full of pain and hurt? Send me a preacher. Will you reach me? Please preach to me. There's not much time.